This is Sheila Bender, and you are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life. Today we have with us in the studio, Port Townsend resident and playwright, Susan Solly. She authors KPTZ's radio soap opera, The Port Ludlow Project. She performed previously at the Paradise Theater during its heyday in Chimicum and for the Key City Theater here in Port Townsend. Having been an actor as well as a longtime fan of soap operas, when she decided to write the show, she found she knew a lot more about playwriting structure than she realized. However, she hadn't yet worked in an audio medium where she could not rely on the visual. The Port Ludlow Project, which features eight characters and a narrator, began airing on KPTZ in February 2019 and has now aired its 13th 10-minute or so episode. However, Susan's busy writing 14, 15, and now 16. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Thank you.
I am so eager to talk with you about this project, and I know from our lunch together recently to discuss the interview that there's an element of silly that is fun for you to write and fun for the actors. And there are, as I understand it, eight and growing numbers of characters, some played by the same people, and a character called narrator, which I find intriguing for a soap opera. So let's start there. It seems to me that when you write something episodic and that's going to continue for you don't know how long, that you might not have an ending in mind.
That's why it's a soap opera.
Aha. Tell me about that.
Well, I grew up on soap operas. I love continuing stories. It's just a genre that I really like. So when I started writing this piece, it was going to be a one act. And I was going to submit to the one act play competition.
Oh, and let me interrupt to say that was your forte, because you'd been three times selected to have your one act plays produced at Key City during the Playwrights Festival over a few years.
Yep.
So you really had experience with that. One act is what you did.
One act is what I did. And since I wasn't really a playwright, go with what you go with. And that's what I had. So I just couldn't finish it. It just wouldn't stop. So I thought, well, maybe it's a two act. Oh, it's a three act. I can't quit. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that I had a soap opera in my hands, and it just wasn't going to end. I love the characters. I love the idea. I love bringing the community into a story.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because somewhere along the line you switched from thinking it was a play, stage play, to realizing you would like to do it as a radio soap opera.
And then the next step was, how am I going to get this out to the public? Because that's what we do as artists, is how are we going to share what we're doing? And then I realized we have a TV station here. I thought, I'll just put it on TV. And I started thinking about sets and blocking and costumes and all of the rest of the things that I didn't want to have to deal with, because I don't know how to deal with that. I'm an actor. Then the idea of a radio station came up, and I thought, oh, this is perfect. You don't have to memorize. You can do it in your jammies. It's just the perfect thing. And so I went from there, and then it took me 3 years to try to get somebody to talk to me.
At the radio station?
Yeah, yeah. I'd send a little emails or kind of yuck it up. And I really do need to say something. The reason why I was able to get on the air is there's a woman named Buzzy Donahue, and she gave me a shot. And because Buzzy opened a door for me, we're in this conversation.
Okay. And that's how
Buzzy.
That's how our community radio station can work. So you had the idea that you'd like to pitch this program as a soap opera with no end in sight. And when you say Buzzy gave you a shot as producer, as...
No, she just... I had told her that I had this show. I think it was a fundraiser moment. I can't even remember now. And so she said, you want to do part of your show? And so she gave me that shot. And we did it live. And...
So no jammies.
No jammies. It's a community effort.
Absolutely is. And you know that as an actor, of course, that's your training, is to be a collaborator, to make a show really happen. And I know that lots of times when a script you've written is being performed or read by actors, and I read this in a Leader article about you, is that sometimes the actors will say, no, that character would not say that thing. So there's another voice in there besides the playwright's voice, which is the person who's embodying that character and knows more perhaps about the living of that character than the playwright might have known.
One of the things that I can tell you for sure is that actors are smart. They're really smart. And if an actor tells you a line's not working, It's not working.
Okay.
Fix it.
Well, we're going to hear a little example from episode 11. And all of these are available as podcasts if they've been broadcast already on KPTZ. If you go to podcasts online at kptz.org, you can find the show, The Bort Ludlow Project. I guess before I play the opening of episode 11, I'd like to know how you titled it. And you said invite the community in. Why is it the Port Ludlow Project?
Because I think Port Ludlow is so funny. It's like this place. It's beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. These guys don't have a grocery store. They have to drive forever to a grocery store. There is no reason for Port Ludlow to exist.
Uh-oh. What do they think about the title of your soap opera?
Well, I've had to move. Change my hair color.
You sound like a character in your series. Because just briefly, tell us, it is based on a crime. There is some mystery in there.
Well, the story itself is about five women criminals in this protection program in Port Ludlow, and they meet in group therapy. And it's just how they navigate their world.
Okay.
But they're criminals.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they don't have a grocery store in Port Ludlow.
Hey, criminals eat.
Right. Yeah.
Trust me.
It sounds like they eat at a lot of local cafes.
They eat at a lot of local cafes. And that was one of the things I thought would be really funny to do is, like, they love the burgers at Fat Smitty's. And they're, one of my characters is Big Edna, who's a waitress at the Chimicum Cafe. And Thursdays, you'll find me at Don's Pharmacy eating baked potatoes.
So do you actually go on site to record any of this? Or
no.
Okay. Uh-uh. But do you do some research by going and eating in these places?
Oh, sure.
Of course. Okay. All right. Well, here's the beginning of the Port Ludlow Project, episode 11.
Due to dumb luck or clever planning, whoever masterminded the puppy heist with the assistance of Amazon managed to come full circle and return the beloved Chica to the ladies waiting at the Chimicum Cafe. This fiend also unknowingly unleashed an anger and rage in Suki never before seen in the history of mankind.
Ooh, give her to me!
No, Holly, you're such a dog hog. It's my turn, and I'm keeping her.
Look, you two, I'm taking her.
No, you're not. Quit it, Max. You always act like you're in charge, but everyone knows it's Blythe. Chica likes me best anyway, so there.
Wait a minute, little Miss Doghog. Now look what you've done.
What? What have I done?
You made Max cry.
That's stupid. Max doesn't cry.
What's going on here? Where's Chica? Okay. Who made Max cry?
It was Holly. Where were you when it all hit the fan and the Holly the dog hog got greedy?
Charlie, did you get anything to eat?
Nope.
And who's in charge of feeding Beowulf here?
That would be me.
What are you waiting for?
But I...
Give me Chica.
No.
Excuse me?
Okay. Chica, sweetheart, I won't be far.
Hand her over, Holly. No. Okay, now... Is everyone comfortable? Maxine, come and sit with Chica and I. Has everybody had a turn holding our little girl?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Charlie. Here's your meatloaf.
Do you have something to say to Charlie, Holly?
I'm sorry, Charlie. And I'm sorry I made you cry, Maxine. I didn't even know it was even possible.
All right, then. Now, when will Lenny and Suki get here?
OMG! We forgot to call Suki. Hand me my purse, I'll...
I can't believe it. You screwed up another lunch. How many's that so far today?
Did you eat anything?
Nope. That's lunch number 5.
Nay, what's the racket? Okay, who made the mess?
Charlie, lunch number 5.
Well... We're out of meatloaf. Looks like the only thing left is the liver special.
I'm not hungry anymore. Besides, we've got to get Chica to Suki.
I'll call Lenny. Lenny, Blythe, we've got her. Who? What are you talking about? We've got Chica. Who do you think I'm talking about? Mari? No, we don't have Mari. Why would we? She's missing. Since when?
Come on, you guys. Let's pack up. Sounds like the good times are never ending. Holly, you take Charlie. Blythe, come with me. You can hold Chica.
How come you get Chica?
Oh, good grief, Holly. Give it a rest.
Oh, look.
Okay, oh, look. I'm going to stop it there. I notice three, I think, maybe more sound effects. There's the background noise in the cafe. Mm-hmm. There is a telephone ringing. And there's a car taking off. So that the group, I don't know, lost track of how many of them are going to get in this car. And there are male characters as well as these women who are in the witness protection program. So where are you when you're recording this and how are these side effects coming in?
We record here in the studio. And Taylor Clark, who is the producer, he's the genius behind the sound effects. And so after everything is recorded, then Taylor and I break it down. And I kind of act as a director, but he's the genius. Now we've got this great library of Don's Pharmacy sounds and Chewing Cafe
sounds. You built your own library.
That's what Taylor's pretty well done.
And so he lays that in after it's been recorded.
Yep, we do.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Yeah, it is. Because it does give a sense that these are real people. Real strange, funny people. But real people anyway who are in an environment and doing the things that most of us do during our day. Listen to other people talking, end up in crowded places, go in cars, answer the phone, all of that. So this dog, Chica, and who's Beowulf? What kind of animal?
Oh, well, Charlie is kind of a big personality. And the whole show, she's always dropping her lunch and her blood sugar's dropping. All of us who've had our blood sugar drop and we turn into
So she becomes Beowulf.
Yeah, she becomes Beowulf.
Yeah. So, and now they are off to an adventure of finding someone else who's missing.
They're off to the adventure of getting Chica back to Suki, because Chica is Suki's dog, even though they love her.
But Suki's missing.
No, Suki's at home.
Oh.
Having a heart attack because her dog is missing.
Oh, okay. A lot to track.
You are listening to In Conversation, discussions on writing and the writing life with Sheila Bender, on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. Today, Sheila is talking with Port Townsend actor and playwright Susan Sully about creating and writing her KPTZ soap opera, The Port Ludlow Project.
As a writer, how are you doing that?
I wish I had a really smart answer for you, but it's just the way my brain works.
Describe how your brain works.
I'm an only child. And so I had a lot of imaginary friends. I grew up in the mountains of Idaho. I've just got a ton of buddies.
Okay. So it seems to me that you have a breezy way of thinking about the writing of this and the open-endedness of not knowing when it will end and where the episodes are going. There must be some obstacles, like there always are in writing. Are there any things that hold you up for a moment or that you wonder about?
No.
So this is an unimpeded way of going.
It's pretty free form. I love one-liners. I've got little sticky notes and pieces of paper all over my world. When I'd hear somebody say something that is really clever or I'll read something, and if I use somebody's work, like in the one with Tony Soprano, that was actually on Tony Soprano. That's what Tony Soprano said.
I'm going to read that quote because it's right here under the title, episode 11. I know two kinds of people, those who help me hide the body and those who are the body. That's Tony Soprano. And that was one of your stuck in your ears.
That just made me laugh. I wrote it down and pulled it up somewhere along the way, but I did give him credit.
Of course, but that's fair use. That's fine. So how does that influence this quote? How does it influence this episode?
I didn't expect to be a writer. I just expected to be an actor all the time. I took a writing class. This is the long way around your question. I took a writing class out at Paradise Theater School with Patty Miles. And she set up a vignette. And it had a statue of a monkey and a couple of other things and this really ugly dress on a couch. And she just said, okay, you know, take a look at this scene and then write a short play about what you're seeing here. And my first thought was, damn, that's an ugly dress. And that became the last line in the show.
In the show that you wrote?
That I wrote, yeah.
That was the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And you said,
damn, that's an ugly dress. Yeah. And I just love one-liners. And so I built this play that I wrote from that one line out. So I started out in the back door, and then I put it all together. And I do the same thing in the beginning. I'll hear one line. I'll think, oh, that's funny. And then I just build on it. And I think I'm pretty lucky in the sense that other than Patty's classes, and she was just so right on, I never had any instructors telling me how I ought to do things.
So that didn't squelch any of your
ideas.
Yeah. So when you build on it, but that line obviously can appear anywhere in this script that you're writing.
Absolutely.
Or even maybe not at all. Just like here, it's an epigraph. So mm-hmm. it's something that inspires or triggers your mm-hmm. your thinking.
Or maybe it's just my thought.
Uh-huh. Oh, not even quoted. Not a quote.
No.
It's your own. Yeah. Do you do that for every episode here?
You know, usually that's the way it works out. I don't know why.
Okay. So one thing that's intriguing to me is that you have a time limit here of about 10 minutes. Sometimes mm-hmm. you do 12, say. But how do you know when you're writing an episode how long the timing of it is? How do you write to a time limit like that?
It usually boils down to the number of pages.
How many pages is 10 minutes?
10, pushing 11. And the other thing is that through the magic of radio, we can reduce things. We can narrow it down in a couple of arenas. Maybe take a sentence or a paragraph mm-hmm. out. Maybe not do the sound effects as elaborately as we thought we would do. So... yeah, that's all
doable. So you can massage things.
Yeah.
So here you are working with a number of actors, and you're one of the actors.
Yes.
And I think we heard your voice in the snippet that mm-hmm. I played. What did you say in there? You said...
who made Max cry? Who did it?
Yeah, you have that kind of character.
Yeah, that's Blythe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's funny because her name sounds different than her way of speaking. A little irony in there.
Yeah. We are who we are.
Yeah. So you must have readings, rehearsals before you come to the studio?
Well, these women in this play are some of the finest actors I have ever seen. They know what they're doing. They've been on stage for years. They like each other. They've acted together before. They're really pretty professional. I give them their script a week or so before so they can kind of massage it a little bit. We meet here. We do two table reads, and then we record. One of the ladies brings her little girl, sets her up on her computer, and we all love the baby, and that's fabulous. We just get it done.
So then you also, do you ever meet outside the research in the cafes? Do you meet together as groups, other places?
No. We're all workers and have families, mm-hmm. and it feeds the beast. If you're a potter, you're going to pot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to do. And if you're an actor, you've got to find a way to fill that void. And this is a real great opportunity for all of us.
So what are you hearing from listeners?
I'm just starting to get feedback from people saying, hey, I heard your show. Wow. I'm thinking, wow. Actually, from some really smart people, which made me very happy.
And did they say smart things?
They said smart things. They said they loved the show. They really thought it was funny and they looked forward to it.
And have you heard from anyone who lives in Port Ludlow?
No. No, I haven't.
It's always very risky. Maybe you need an episode that takes place in Port Gamble, which I find a very intriguing place.
Oh, because, yeah.
They have a little grocery store, but you never see the people who live there.
Aliens.
Yeah.
It's all about aliens.
Well, maybe that's where these characters in the Witness Protection Program are going to explore at some point.
It's a pretty wide open forum.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play the ending of episode 11, which also features the narrator and some spooky music. And then we'll talk a little bit about that character of narrator.
Okay.
It's a strange world we live in, Master Jack. As if finding out that Suki has not only gone rogue isn't enough, Blythe was introduced to an enormous stash of weapons, leaving her with a nagging hunch there is a mole in the crowd, and that Suki is preparing her for something. But what? Oh, Port Ludlow, what secrets do you hold?
How'd you choose that music?
I just got lucky. We were looking for music, and we came across that. It's a band called the Squirrel Nut Zippers,
right.
And it's just perfect.
It seems to be.
Yeah.
It's zany. And uh-huh. You know, when did you realize you were going to have a character who was the narrator? How much of a departure is that, do you think, from a regular soap opera?
On stage or in film, you can accomplish a great deal with an eye roll. Everything in radio has to be audio. Everything. So how am I going to do that? Called Zach Neesmith. That's what I did.
And that is the actor.
That's the actor. He's just got the perfect voice. He's a terrific actor and a great young man. You just can't beat him. He fills in the gaps.
But you write them.
Yeah.
So his voice fills it in
mm-hmm.
and makes you want to tune into the next episode
mm-hmm.
because
in Port Ludlow.
Right, something's awry. Mm-hmm. There are secrets there.
There are.
I'm sure you know some of them, and I'm sure that there are more to come.
No, I don't know any of them. Trust me.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay. But what I mean is you've written 11 episodes, so.
Yeah. I've written 16.
16. Oh, that's right. You've written 16. Mm-hmm. 13 have aired. So what would you like to say to fans of soap opera about writing for radio?
Give it a try. I had to figure this out myself. You can do it too.
All right. That's very optimistic.
Yeah.
Do you have other writing ideas, or is this one enough to keep you occupied?
I will certainly continue to look at opportunities, especially for a full-length play, because I've never done that. I've been successful at one act, so I have to see what I've got in me.
Do you think any of these characters would inspire a stage play?
I don't think I would want that to happen, because I like the mystery of these characters. I like the idea of somebody going to the grocery store and being in the meat aisle with Charlie and not know it.
And tell us again who Charlie is.
She's just this great character. She came into the program through the back door. She has a PhD in computer science from MIT. And she was involved with a guy who happened to be a bad boy, and he took her down the garden path, and she ended up needing a place to go. So she wrote herself a one-way ticket into the witness protection program and ended up in Port Ludlow. She's got a great criminal in mind, and she comes up with stuff. If there's a problem, Charlie's going to figure it out, and is going to be the one that saves your hide. She's going to be irritable about it.
I don't think Charlie can have a great criminal mind without the writer knowing something about this. What do you think? Is she teaching you, or are you teaching her?
I learn from all my characters, and they give me an opportunity to say the snarky things that I want to say without having to say them.
That's fun. So I know that you recently done a promo for fundraising drives mm-hmm. here, and that the actors who are in it are very enthusiastic about it, and we'll have an opportunity to hear it. Can you tell us something about it and how it came to be? And I think it's 2 minutes, how you take everything that you're doing and compress it.
Well, once again, how long it takes for a page. It's about a minute a page. They asked me if I would write a promo piece with the characters. And I thought, well, yeah, that's just a funny idea in itself. I got a whole bunch of criminals that have a whole bunch of money, and it's free money. So they like the station. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to drop a brown paper bag full of money off at the radio station.
Let's have a listen.
KPTZ, this is Taylor.
We would like to make a donation.
That's great. Who am I speaking to?
Why?
Well, I'll need some information to process your donation.
And we'll just drop it off. Hold on.
What?
He wants to know who we are.
Why?
Yeah, you talk to him.
What do you want?
I just have to have some information so we can thank you appropriately, and we need to know how you intend to pay your donation.
We can't use your thank yous. We're just dropping off cash.
Oh, all right. When would you like to do that?
Look, I'm driving. Talk to my friend.
But...
Are you clear on this? We are on our way.
Okay. Just come into the station. During the fun drive, we're here from 10 until 5, and there's snacks.
We're coming from Port Ludlow and should be there in a few minutes. Be outside by the bus stop.
It's raining.
Give me that. What's your name?
Taylor.
Look, Taylor, we're going to drive to the bus stop, slow down, roll down the window, hand you a brown paper bag. Done deal, understand?
No.
No what?
No, I don't understand.
Taylor, we're almost there. Get a move on.
Okay, there he is. Get the window down.
Done. Gun it.
It just shouldn't be that hard to give someone $100,000.
Yeah, considering we coughed up the nickel for the bag at Safeway.
Drop your donation by KPTZ today.
So the promo has a plot, beginning, middle, and
end. It's a whole little story.
Uh-huh.
With a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Uh-huh. Anything else you want to say about it? Do you think you'll make another promo and have these criminal minds?
If they ask me, I'll do it.
Yeah. So that's a good story. You went from pitching the story but getting no response to having your opportunity to being asked to actually be a part of the fun drive and help raise money by having your very characters involved in sharing the experience of KPTZ. I think that's a great success story.
I'm very happy with how it's working out.
Good. Well, I look forward to the next episodes, and I'm so grateful that they are all online. So if you want to start from the beginning, any listeners out there, you just go to KPTZ Podcasts, and you scroll down the list of programs, and you come to, because they're alphabetical, you come to the Port Ludlow Project, and there they all are. And since they're only 10 to 12 minutes, you can binge listen.
Well, that was the point, is that if you live in Port Townsend, everything is 10 minutes from Safeway. And so I figured that if you get in your car and you're headed anywhere, you can listen to an episode in 10 minutes and then you're there.
And if you need to listen to more, you can sit in your car.
Absolutely. And if you get – absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You just sit in your car. It's raining.
Of course it's raining. Do you have a sound effect for rain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But one thing I'll tell you that I thought was really funny is I have a really good friend who's been traveling in Southeast Asia. And he listened to our show in Mumbai.
Because he could stream it.
Because he could stream it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So yeah, now you have a worldwide audience.
Yes.
That's
great. We're international.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Susan, for coming this morning. It's been really fun to listen to you describe the inside of this production and this story and how these ideas have come to you. Thank you.
Better watch out. You'll end up in the show.
Uh-oh.
In Conversation is produced by Sheila Bender and edited by Charlie Fleischman.